Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Amen. Our sermon texts for today are the words from our gospel lesson found in Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. And as is our tradition, I'd invite you to rise for the reading of the gospel text, our sermon text. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Fellow redeemed in Christ, if Jesus were here today, what would he say? That's a question that a lot of people like to debate on Facebook, I see. What would Jesus say to President Trump? What would Jesus say to Kim Jong-un from North Korea? What would he say to Joe Arpaio, to the school board, to the Republicans, to the Democrats, to the residents of Houston? If you want to get a spirited discussion going, all you have to do is presume to say, this is what Jesus would say to that. Trust me, I know you could just go up here to the men's donut table at Bash's and you can hear the discussion, and boy, they get heated sometimes. People have a lot of different opinions about what Jesus would say. Some people today imagine that Jesus would never be harsh, never at all. Some think that his words would never be a downer. Some imagine that Jesus would be angry with some of those people and lash out at them. People have all kinds of different opinions about what Jesus would say. So I ask you, what do you expect Jesus to say? Excuse me. In a sense, that question doesn't really matter, does it? Our answer to that is irrelevant. In one sense, it doesn't matter what we think. Our preconceived notions about what Jesus would say don't make him who he is and don't make him say what he says in the scriptures. But in another sense, it is important, because our preconceived notions of him are exactly what we think about him. And we act based on those ideas. In those moments when he is seemingly silent toward us and toward others, we often misunderstand his silence toward us, because rather than thinking about what he has said, we think about our own thoughts. We imagine what he would say in our own minds based on our preconceived notions, based on what our culture has taught us as we were growing up. Just that situation arises in our sermon text this morning. And I've preached on these words to you before long ago. I focused them on the Canaanite woman and Jesus' words to her. But today, I want us to pay a little more attention to the disciples and what they were saying, what they heard and didn't hear from the Savior. Now, the woman cried out to him, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." Boy, this must have been an uncomfortable scene for the disciples, this Canaanite. The Canaanites were a people that God had commanded the Israelites to run out of the country, to run out of the promised land, to kill them all if they got in the way. She was a descendant of the Canaanites. And she dared to speak to Jesus about religion. She dared to call Jesus even her Lord. She was saying he was the Messiah, the Son of David. Now, we see everything through cultural lenses. We form our opinions in our minds based on the times that we live in and the culture that we grew up in. And our expectations are forged in our past. What the disciples saw that day was abhorrent to them. They thought it was awful. In their eyes, it was just wrong for this woman to even approach Jesus. And so Jesus' silence was totally understandable to them. In that uncomfortable silence, the disciples formed their opinions about what was going on there based on their preconceived notions. They assumed that Jesus was indignant, insulted by it all, and he wanted nothing more to do with this Canaanite woman. And more than that, it would seem unseemly to the disciples for Jesus to indulge this woman's whining. In their minds, they joined with what they imagined their leader to be, and they said, "Oh, send her away. Get rid of her. Shoo her away. She's crying out after us, making a scene." This same sort of thing happened before. It happened in Mark chapter 10 when people were bringing the little children to Jesus. The same sort of thing happens when we distance ourselves from people who don't fit our preconceived notions about who fits in our church or who fits in our circle of friends. Do you think that we sometimes imagine wrongly what Jesus would say, especially to those who don't fit? There's a reason that God caused this scene to be written down for our learning. There's a reason that Jesus turned away from this woman's request. He did it for the disciples that day. And he does it for us too. Here today, all these years later. That moment of uncomfortable silence for them and for us is there for us to think about why he did that. What do you think? What do you think he's doing? What preconceived notions do you have about his motivations there? Do we think that Jesus loves some people, but not others? Do we think that Jesus died to save some people, but not others? Do we think that this Canaanite woman is somehow unworthy of Jesus' attention? Do we think that the disciples, in a sense, have it right? All these thoughts bid us to think about Jesus' motivations, and how we answer depends on the way that we think. The disciples thought that Jesus was not there for such as this woman. They thought that he'd come to teach the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Israelites. When Jesus said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel," well, that seemed to fit with everything that they were thinking. But notice the next couple of words. Those little words are always important. It says, "But she came and knelt before him." That tells us that this Canaanite woman believed, and rightly so, that Jesus was talking to her, not to the disciples at that moment. She must have known something about the prophecies. She calls Jesus Lord and Son of David. Those are messianic titles. She deduced that even though God had chosen to send his Son forth from the people of Israel, that he would help her too, because he had promised to help even the Gentiles. And so again, she called him Lord and prayed those very words that we pray in just about every service. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help me. So far, we are to learn from the words of the woman that we know the real Jesus when we listen to his word and trust what he says about himself. And so far, we are to learn from the disciples that when we think about Jesus with our own ideas and notions about who he ought to be, then we've got everything backwards. We've been formed in this sinful nature and worldly culture around us, and so we come to the wrong conclusions when we try to figure out who Jesus is with our own thinking, with our own reasoning. He tells us who he is. He tells us why he's here. He tells us what his mission is. Jesus answered her, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dog." Still, he's stoking the disciples here in a sense. They must have been pleased to see Jesus running this woman off. He called her a dog. He said that the bread of the children of Israel was not for her. Can you just hear them preparing to shoo her away? But Jesus didn't call this woman a mangy cur or a filthy mutt. He didn't choose to picture the dogs on the street or climbing over the refuse in the trash heap. Instead, he calls this woman a little dog, a puppy, a lap dog. He brings the disciples to the picture of the family pet receiving food that really shouldn't be for the pet. And you know what I'm talking about. Those dogs with those big brown eyes, and they kind of stick their snout right in underneath your elbow there, and they look at you, and you think, oh, and you give them food, even though they shouldn't have it. You know, the picture is very different from what the disciples were probably thinking at first. Yes, she was not of Israel. And yet God had chosen to come to her with his word. Jesus was to carry out his mission as the Son of David among the Israelites. He was going to Calvary there by Jerusalem to offer himself up as the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And he was going to rise from the dead there in Jerusalem, to proclaim that his work is finished and that our sins are paid for, the sins of the whole world. He was going to do all of that in Israel. And she knew that she was a foreigner, one who didn't belong. She heard Jesus' words, and she thought to herself, the scraps of God's grace, that's good enough for me. That's all I need. And she says, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Imagine how dumbfounded and astounded those disciples must have been when Jesus turned to her and said, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." They were all caught up in their own thoughts about what ought to be happening when Jesus teaches them what must happen. Their ideas were all upended. And then Matthew records the proof in the pudding. He says, "And her daughter was healed instantly." Matthew was saying what was on their minds that day. This is not just a teacher. Jesus is not just a knowledgeable Jew or a good rabbi. These are the words of God. God was teaching them there. So what do you expect Jesus to say? What have we learned from his words to the Canaanite woman and to his disciples? What have we learned from his words to us? Well, I say let us not misunderstand his seeming silence. He wants us to think about how we are going to know him. He wants us to think about our attitude toward other people. Do you believe that there are people around you that Jesus might not want because they don't fit the mold or because their sin is too great? Well, no matter what you think, listen to what Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you believe his promises, even though they weren't made to you face to face, or even to your ancestors? St. John wrote, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Your sins are forgiven, fellow redeemed. Are you satisfied with those scraps of God's grace? Do you know that they're more than enough to give you eternal life in heaven? Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Maybe this is not what we would naturally expect. Maybe this is not the opinion of the world, but it is what we most need to hear. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.